Scottish Qualifications Authority, National Qualifications, 2009. English for Speakers of Other Languages, Intermediate 2, Listening. Listen to this conversation and answer the questions which follow. You now have 1 minute to read the questions in Section A, Recording 1, before you hear the recording.
Hi, Elena. Is that computer next to you free?
Hi, Atif. Yeah. Oh, I'm glad you're here, because I can pick your brains. How's it going anyway?
Good. Just beat Sam at table tennis, so well pleased. What are you looking at? Is it work, or are you just surfing the net?
Work, of course. We've got to write an essay about our favourite actor, and the deadline's Friday. It took me a week just to decide which actor to go for.
So who is it?
I finally chose Dan Radcliffe. I've kind of grown up watching his movies, and...
Dan who?
Dan Radcliffe, you know, the guy who plays Harry Potter.
Oh, the boy wizard. He's your favourite actor?
Maybe not my favourite, but I chose him because he's achieved so much, so young. All before he was 20.
So what do you want to pick my brains about?
I started to do some research into Radcliffe, but I've ended up with far too much information. Look, I've got over 40 pages of notes.
All that life history and still so young. Just as well he's not 80. Imagine how much info you'd have then. How long's the essay?
Just 800 words, but I don't know where to begin. Can I just talk it through with you?
What background details are you going to include at the start of the essay?
Well, he was born in London in 1989, an only child. He always knew he wanted to act, and his lucky break came in 2000 when he landed his first TV role in the Dickens classic, David Copperfield, at the age of 11.
How did he get the Harry Potter role?
A lucky coincidence, really. You see, Dan had gone to the theatre with his parents and the Harry Potter producer spotted him in the audience.
And he was offered the role, just like that?
No, he still had to audition for the part. Apparently he found out that he'd got the part while he was having a bath. The phone went and he answered and was given the good news. It took a while for it to sink in, as you can imagine.
So he wasn't chosen by, what's her name? You know, that woman who wrote the Harry Potter books.
You mean J.K. Rowling? No, but they say she was delighted with the choice. She said it was like being reunited with her long-lost son.
Yeah, right. I bet he's related to her. He probably really is her son, or nephew, or something, and that's how he got the part. Anyway, how much does he earn?
I don't know how much he makes per film, but there's an article here from the Sunday Times with a rich list, and he's on it.
Let's see. It said he had a personal fortune of £14 million in 2007, so now he must have even more. Wow, imagine all the cars he could buy with that.
No, listen to this quote by Dan about turning 18. He said, "I don't plan to be one of those people who suddenly buy themselves a massive sports car collection or something similar. I don't think I'll be particularly extravagant. The things I like buying are things that cost about £10, books, CDs and DVDs." So he's down to earth. You know, he does a lot for charity as well.
Oh, I've heard enough about him. Got to go. Maybe catch you later.
Bye then.
Hi, Elena. Is that computer next to you free?
Hi, Atif. Yeah. Oh, I'm glad you're here, because I can pick your brains. How's it going anyway?
Good. Just beat Sam at table tennis, so well pleased. What are you looking at? Is it work, or are you just surfing the net?
Work, of course. We've got to write an essay about our favourite actor, and the deadline's Friday. It took me a week just to decide which actor to go for.
So who is it?
I finally chose Dan Radcliffe. I've kind of grown up watching his movies, and...
Dan who?
Dan Radcliffe, you know, the guy who plays Harry Potter.
Oh, the boy wizard. He's your favourite actor?
Maybe not my favourite, but I chose him because he's achieved so much so young, all before he was 20.
So what do you want to pick my brains about?
I started to do some research into Radcliffe, but I've ended up with far too much information. Look, I've got over 40 pages of notes.
All that life history and still so young. Just as well he's not 80. Imagine how much info you'd have then. How long's the essay?
Just 800 words, but I don't know where to begin. Can I just talk it through with you?
What background details are you going to include at the start of the essay?
Well, he was born in London in 1989, an only child. He always knew he wanted to act, and his lucky break came in 2000 when he landed his first TV role in the Dickens classic, David Copperfield, at the age of 11.
How did he get the Harry Potter role?
A lucky coincidence, really. You see, Dan had gone to the theatre with his parents, and the Harry Potter producer spotted him in the audience.
And he was offered the role, just like that?
No, he still had to audition for the part. Apparently he found out that he'd got the part while he was having a bath. The phone went, and he answered and was given the good news. It took a while for it to sink in, as you can imagine.
So he wasn't chosen by, what's her name? You know, that woman who wrote the Harry Potter books.
You mean J.K. Rowling? No, but they say she was delighted with the choice. She said it was like being reunited with her long-lost son.
Yeah, right. I bet he's related to her. He probably really is her son, or nephew, or something, and that's how he got the part. Anyway, how much does he earn?
I don't know how much he makes per film, but there's an article here from the Sunday Times with a rich list, and he's on it.
Let's see. It said he had a personal fortune of £14 million in 2007, so now he must have even more. Wow, imagine all the cars he could buy with that.
No, listen to this quote by Dan about turning 18. He said, I don't plan to be one of those people who suddenly buy themselves a massive sports car collection or something similar. I don't think I'll be particularly extravagant. The things I like buying are things that cost about £10, books, CDs and DVDs. So he's down to earth. You know, he does a lot for charity as well.
Oh, I've heard enough about him. Got to go. Maybe catch you later.
Bye then.
Listen to this talk and answer the questions which follow. You now have 1 minute to read the questions in Section A, Recording 2, before you hear the recording.
Good morning. We've covered a number of areas in this course. Last week, we looked at traditional British food and its history. Today, I want to look at foreign food in Britain, especially Indian food. Now, Britain is rather unusual in that people don't often want to eat British food when they go to restaurants. Some would say this is because many people think that British food is boring. As a country, we cook less and less and seem to prefer buying ready meals from supermarkets. Others say that it's the other way around. Our food is bad because the best chefs in the country are cooking other types of food. French, Chinese, Indian, and so on. So there's no development of the native tradition. We go on cooking the same old stuff, or, like I said, we buy it from the supermarket. Whatever the reason, the fact is that there are a lot of foreign restaurants in Britain. Now, I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but if you go to France or other countries, you can find some foreign restaurants, at least in the big cities, but you have to look carefully for them. There are just not very many. They are not so popular. Now, there are many different types of foreign restaurants in Britain, but the most popular are Indian and Chinese, and today I'd like to look at Indian. From what we know, the first Indian restaurant in Britain opened in 1809. Its owner had been a servant to a British officer in India and Ireland, who then moved to London. The restaurant was called the Hindustani Coffee House. He put a big advert in the Times newspaper, but the idea was ahead of its time, and the restaurant closed in 1812. Right through the 19th century and the first half of the 20th, the British ruled India, and many British worked there. The best-known type of Indian food is curry, and curry recipes began to appear in British cookbooks. Queen Victoria had Indian servants, and curry was on the menu at many of her meals. Even so, in 1955, there were only 13 Indian restaurants in Britain. But then, in the 1960s, things changed. Thousands of South Asians, that is, people from India, Pakistan and Bangladesh, came to live in Britain to find work. Many of them had business skills, and opening a restaurant was the natural thing to do. And in 1972, the number of South Asians in Britain was increased by the 30,000 people of South Asian origin who were expelled from Uganda in East Africa by their government. They arrived with only the things they could carry and set about rebuilding their lives. Though they had done many jobs in Uganda, many of them opened restaurants because their work opportunities in Britain were limited. Today, there are around 8,000 Indian restaurants. And there's a thing. It's traditional for restaurants to call themselves Indian, even though their owners might come from Pakistan or Bangladesh. 70,000 people work in these restaurants. That's more than in all the heavy industries. There are also factories in Britain which produce everything from jars of curry paste to take-home meals. You can buy these everywhere from major stores and supermarkets like Marks & Spencer and Tesco to small corner shops. Magazines have Indian recipes, and you can even find curry on the menu in pubs. Curry is now Britain's most popular restaurant food. Things have changed a lot since the first restaurant closed in 1812. Good morning. We've covered a number of areas in this course. Last week, we looked at traditional British food and its history. Today, I want to look at foreign food in Britain, especially Indian food. Now, Britain is rather unusual in that people don't often want to eat British food when they go to restaurants. Some would say this is because many people think that British food is boring. As a country, we cook less and less and seem to prefer buying ready meals from supermarkets. Others say that it's the other way around. Our food is bad because the best chefs in the country are cooking other types of food, French, Chinese, Indian, and so on. So there's no development of the native tradition. We go on cooking the same old stuff, or, like I said, we buy it from the supermarket. Whatever the reason, the fact is that there are a lot of foreign restaurants in Britain. Now, I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but if you go to France or other countries, you can find some foreign restaurants, at least in the big cities, but you have to look carefully for them. There are just not very many. They are not so popular. Now, there are many different types of foreign restaurants in Britain, but the most popular are Indian and Chinese, and today I'd like to look at Indian. From what we know, the first Indian restaurant in Britain opened in 1809. Its owner had been a servant to a British officer in India and Ireland, who then moved to London. The restaurant was called the Hindustani Coffee House. He put a big advert in the Times newspaper, but the idea was ahead of its time, and the restaurant closed in 1812. Right through the 19th century and the first half of the 20th, the British ruled India, and many British worked there. The best-known type of Indian food is curry, and curry recipes began to appear in British cookbooks. Queen Victoria had Indian servants, and curry was on the menu at many of her meals. Even so, in 1955, there were only 13 Indian restaurants in Britain. But then, in the 1960s, things changed. Thousands of South Asians, that is, people from India, Pakistan and Bangladesh, came to live in Britain to find work. Many of them had business skills, and opening a restaurant was the natural thing to do. And in 1972, the number of South Asians in Britain was increased by the 30,000 people of South Asian origin who were expelled from Uganda in East Africa by their government. They arrived with only the things they could carry and set about rebuilding their lives. Though they had done many jobs in Uganda, many of them opened restaurants because their work opportunities in Britain were limited. Today, there are around 8,000 Indian restaurants. And there's a thing. It's traditional for restaurants to call themselves Indian, even though their owners might come from Pakistan or Bangladesh. 70,000 people work in these restaurants. That's more than in all the heavy industries. There are also factories in Britain which produce everything from jars of curry paste to take-home meals. You can buy these everywhere from major stores and supermarkets like Marks & Spencer and Tesco to small corner shops. Magazines have Indian recipes, and you can even find curry on the menu in pubs. Curry is now Britain's most popular restaurant food. Things have changed a lot since the first restaurant closed in 1812.
Listen to this conversation and answer the questions which follow. You now have 1 minute to read the questions in section A, recording 3, before you hear the recording.
Hi, Ellie. How are things?
Oh, hi, Jake. I'm fine. How's it going?
Not bad.
What are you doing?
Nothing much. Just chilling.
Want a coffee or something?
No, I just finished one. I've got to go soon. Got a class at 11.
Yeah, me too. Hey, nice trainers. Are they new?
Yeah, I just got them yesterday.
Where from?
The market.
Oh, let me have a look. Right, so what are they?
Nike. What do they look like?
How much did they cost you?
How much? I don't know. Not very much.
And you reckon they're genuine?
Well, the guy said they were from a special shipment that was cancelled at the last minute.
What?
Well, that's what he said. He seemed honest enough.
Oh, yeah, sure. They all say that.
So what do you think?
I'd say two things are possible. Either they're stolen or they're fakes.
Well, they look real enough to me.
So most likely stolen. Anyway, you'll find out soon enough. If they fall off your feet next week, you'll know they were made in some sweatshop in the back streets.
Well, the thing is, I don't have much money right now.
So why not buy a cheaper pair? I was reading something the other day in the newspaper. It said that cheap trainers are just as good as the ones with big names. They tried them out on runners and tested them for comfort and being hard-wearing and stuff.
Really? Where'd you read this?
It was in The Guardian, I think.
The Guardian? That's for old people, isn't it? Since when did you start reading The Guardian?
Oh, Jake, you can't go on being a teenager all your life. There's more to the news than sex, scandal and football.
Yeah, whatever. So are we going out on Friday night?
I don't know if I want to go out with someone that wears dodgy trainers and never reads a decent newspaper. What do you want to do with your life anyway?
I haven't really thought about it much. I'll stay on at school next year because I want to finish my exams. But after that, I don't know.
Don't you want to go to university?
I'm not sure. These days, it isn't whether you go to university so much as which university you go to. And I don't know if my exam results will be good enough to get me into a decent one. I'm not going to starve for 3 or 4 years and come out with a useless degree.
It depends what you want to do, I suppose. Have you any idea of what kind of job you'd like?
Not really. I'd like to go into business, but I've no idea what kind. What about you?
I'm thinking about law.
Law? Oh, come on. In a suit, all respectable and so on. You?
Why not? Jake, I'm not like you. Your family's quite well off, even though they don't give you great piles of cash to buy trainers. Mine isn't. My dad lost his job 5 years ago and he's hardly worked since, and I've got 2 younger sisters. I want to make some decent money so I can help my family.
But a lawyer? Come on.
Yeah, then I can spend my time prosecuting people like you who wear stolen trainers.
Oh, very funny. So I'll see you on Friday night.
Yeah, pick me up around 8. Bye.
Hi, Ellie. How are things?
Oh, hi, Jake. I'm fine. How's it going?
Not bad.
What are you doing?
Nothing much. Just chilling.
Want a coffee or something?
No, I just finished one. I've got to go soon. Got a class at 11.
Yeah, me too. Hey, nice trainers. Are they new?
Yeah, I just got them yesterday.
Where from?
The market.
Oh, let me have a look. Right, so what are they?
Nike. What do they look like?
How much did they cost you?
How much? I don't know. Not very much.
And you reckon they're genuine?
Well, the guy said they were from a special shipment that was cancelled at the last minute.
What?
Well, that's what he said. He seemed honest enough.
Oh, yeah, sure. They all say that.
So what do you think?
I'd say two things are possible. Either they're stolen or they're fakes.
Well, they look real enough to me.
So most likely stolen. Anyway, you'll find out soon enough. If they fall off your feet next week, you'll know they were made in some sweatshop in the back streets.
Well, the thing is, I don't have much money right now.
So why not buy a cheaper pair? I was reading something the other day in the newspaper. It said that cheap trainers are just as good as the ones with big names. They tried them out on runners and tested them for comfort and being hard-wearing and stuff.
Really? Where'd you read this?
It was in The Guardian, I think.
The Guardian? That's for old people, isn't it? Since when did you start reading The Guardian?
Oh, Jake, you can't go on being a teenager all your life. There's more to the news than sex, scandal and football.
Yeah, whatever. So are we going out on Friday night?
I don't know if I want to go out with someone that wears dodgy trainers and never reads a decent newspaper. What do you want to do with your life anyway?
I haven't really thought about it much. I'll stay on at school next year because I want to finish my exams. But after that, I don't know.
Don't you want to go to university?
I'm not sure. These days, it isn't whether you go to university so much as which university you go to. And I don't know if my exam results will be good enough to get me into a decent one. I'm not going to starve for 3 or 4 years and come out with a useless degree.
It depends what you want to do, I suppose. Have you any idea of what kind of job you'd like?
Not really. I'd like to go into business, but I've no idea what kind. What about you?
I'm thinking about law.
Law? Oh, come on. In a suit, all respectable and so on. You?
Why not? Jake, I'm not like you. Your family's quite well off, even though they don't give you great piles of cash to buy trainers. Mine isn't. My dad lost his job 5 years ago and he's hardly worked since, and I've got 2 younger sisters. I want to make some decent money so I can help my family.
But a lawyer? Come on.
Yeah, then I can spend my time prosecuting people like you who wear stolen trainers.
Oh, very funny. So I'll see you on Friday night.
Yeah, pick me up around 8. Bye.
You now have 1 minute to check your answers. This is the end of the listening test.